we have a weapon more powerful than the British Empire. And that weapon is our refusal to bow to any order but our own, any institution but our own.
Very few of the people who are like really successful sports bettors actually understand the sports they're watching. I'm sorry, or betting on, to be more accurate.
Well, in Australia, we have a couple of apps that we do betting through, but most of it's on horses. Like the football sports, it's an option, but most people just bet on horses.
Save this for the actual show, guys.
I've already started recording.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so gambling, you have a big problem with horses there, Jack?
Problem? It's not a problem. It's good.
You think gambling's good?
Have a fucking punt. You'll be right. Just don't get addicted. Only
I think gambling, it's like, okay, it's a, like sports gambling. It's a little fun to place like a good like 10, anywhere between 5 to like, depending on how much you make. Sometimes even a $200 bet if it's a really safe one. You know what I mean? But the problem with gambling as it exists now in the U.S. is it like, when did it get federally legalized again? Could someone remind me? It was like 2 or 3 years ago, like or right before Trump left office.
I didn't even know it was federally legalized.
It had to have been legalized on a federal scale because you got all these gambling companies like advertising.
I think they're all offshore. They're all offshore and sink into a gray zone.
No, because because they say that sports betting is a skill game. It's a skill game.
Not really. It's just kind of taken the country by storm. Like, it's pretty unregulated. You can place almost as many bets as you like for about as much money as you like. And I don't know how I feel, because I feel like it's going to be a problem. I feel like it's almost going to be like smoking in like 10, 20 years, where it's like you're going to have all these people with like gambling debt. And then it's going to become a huge fucking problem, and people are going to have to, like, they're going to have to regulate it super hard.
I mean, we've
low
been
key,
through
it's
this.
An insidious industry.
We've been through this here. Like, it's not a problem anymore because it's been dealt with. There's regulation, it was supposed to be. And the ads and shit, like, they're not allowed to publish ads about gambling without putting disclaimers. There's anti-gambling ads everywhere, like all this sort of stuff happens here. It's just moderation. Just don't be a fucking idiot about it.
We have the disclaimers on the ads, but we don't have any, like, I haven't seen very many anti-gambling ads yet.
I think so, a big problem.
I don't know. I feel like just because the way America is,
influencers and stuff. Like, we've been seeing that on Twitch a lot. Like, Twitch has had a huge gambling fiasco. But then also, like, the other side of it, because, like, I don't gamble. I've never been attracted to it. And now, especially being a Buddhist, I'm especially kind of, like, don't see the point in it. And the cryptocurrency market as well is, like, the influencers are just using crypto and gambling sites to basically line their pockets by, like, scamming their audiences right now.
You mean influencers scam their audiences?
I mean it's been especially bad since COVID, though.
Especially of course it has, because everyone's been inside. Everyone's a victim
crypto,
now. Though.
It's crypto. That's really the problem. I mean, the biggest Ponzi scheme in history was potentially involved with crypto.
Not surprised at all.
I fucking hate crypto. But the other thing with gambling is like, as you were saying about the sponsorships, there is a lot of money to be made to be like a brand ambassador for DraftKings or BetMGM or Caesars or whatever it is. So, I mean, you see almost every relevant pro athlete, but a lot of relevant pro athletes are like a spokesperson or an ambassador for like insert betting app here.
Almost always.
I don't know. Here's my deal. Here's my deal with it. The thing is it is another big industry, just like big pharma, just like big tech. There's big gambling. It's like you've got this multi-billion-dollar industry just collecting money from people who think it's like, oh yeah, bro, I know basketball. So I'm gonna put like fucking $550 on the Clippers or some shit.
They fired.
So I don't know. Allegedly. It just strikes.
There's a guy here who realistically, like, he's a comedian, but the work that he's been doing is very journalistic. He's basically the only person in Australia that I would consider doing journalism, because the rest of the country is just corporate press jerking off politicians. It's a really bad situation. Like, our democracy in Australia is fucked. And if people say otherwise, they're so fucking wrong. It's so fucked. We are not living in a democracy. And this guy, his name's Jordan Shanks, he he would probably agree. But he's called it a guided democracy, which is exactly what it is. It's a perfect term for it, right? And he was doing a story about New South Wales and the money laundering through pokies, which are the pokie machines. Which I think you guys only have them in casinos, like slot machines. And, yeah. So here,
yeah, only in casinos, yeah.
Yeah, here, pokies are fucking everywhere. They're at the local pubs, they're at RSLs, which is like, their return services league, so it's basically, VA, but not as corrupt and fucked. But it's like, They're restaurants set up specifically for veterans, and they were laundering money through these places, these pokie machines. And there was a whistleblower who has he got diagnosed with cancer, so he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna come out, I'm gonna talk about this and how they're just letting money laundering happen through these pokie machines. And this guy on YouTube covered it. I think it was like 2 weeks later, his house got firebombed.
Like, oh shit!
Like they it's called Clubs New South Wales, and Clubs New South Wales is just the New South Wales branch of this thing. I guarantee it's exactly the same in every single state around the country. I guarantee there's so much money laundering going through pokies, and nobody gives a fuck. I've sat next to someone in the pokies feeding $50 bills like it was nothing. Just 50 after 50 after 50. 10 minutes later, it's gone. More 50s. Just thousands of dollars through this fucking pokies. And that's exactly how they launder the money. They just put it in, they put it in, they put it in, they do a couple spins, they take it out, they get fresh money that they have receipts for.
To be fair to them, that's a really smart way to launder money.
It's a very smart way. And honestly, I really don't care. Like, this is not something that I care about, but it's something that he cares about because he's status, like, Labour bootlicker kind of guy. Whatever, you can't hold it against him. But it's like, you know, he's, at the end of the day, he's doing good work, but he's still working to empower the state, which is why I don't really appreciate that sort of thing. But, like, I get why, like, it's funding criminal organizations who are probably involved with child trafficking and that sort of stuff. There's all these ethical issues.
Isn't where you live one of Nindreda's headquarters?
Manhoodies?
You live in one of Nindreda's headquarters.
What the fuck is Nindreda?
They're a mafia. They're the money launderers of the criminal world.
Oh, this was released middle last year. Okay.
Victoria.
Yeah.
Victoria is where they're based. Victoria, and then they're based in whatever the West is. It's very hard to read this font.
Western Australia?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. But that makes sense. Like, there was a whole lot of, like, gangland stuff here through the 90s. Western Australia as well.
Oh, it's...
I mean, there is a large Italian population here, so it doesn't surprise me.
But it's a...
Whoa, man. What's with the racial stereotype
Started in Melbourne. Currently active in all of Australia. It was 1963. It was involved in the Victoria Market murders. You know what that is?
No.
Okay. I guess there's 9 families in Australia. Oh, here we go. Look at this. This is where they're at. All the baddies. New South Wales.
New South Wales is Sydney. So it's
being known for money laundering. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Nindreda is very involved there.
Me and my friend were actually talking about Berlusconi, if I'm saying his name right. Berlusconi, that one dude who was that insane far-right prime minister
Bunga Bunga guy?
Bunga Bunga, there we go. There we go, the Bunga Bunga guy. Yeah, that's... But we were talking about his connections to the mob, but it's just like how he was like AC Milan, the football soccer team. He basically like made sure they got arguably the best roster like in European football history back in like 2007, just because of his connections. I don't know. It's all so insane. I just felt like putting that noter on there just since we're talking about the mafia and criminal organizations and whatnot.
Okay, so I did know about them, but I didn't know about them by that name. So there's a bunch of stuff.
They're called the Honored Society in Australia.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But the people like Mick Gatto is someone who I know about. Who is a one of their groups. The Williams family is a very fucking notorious family, who are a part of that as well.
And throw that page
and
up.
The Morans as well.
Go ahead and throw that page up. You're in the wiki, because I was just on it. So you can actually see the names that you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry. This guy here, so Anthony Mockbell, Carl Williams, these people, Mick Gatto here. These are all from this here. So Underbelly is a TV show about all this stuff, but the Melbourne gangland killings is what I looked into because I knew about this one. This is murder of 36 underworld figures between 98 and 2010 in Melbourne. So this was going on for a while.
Yeah, because like Nendretta's not big here, but they're big in Canada.
Interesting.
Massive in Canada. Canada and Australia are like their two like most offshore, you know, whatever you'd call it, offshore.
I wonder why.
I think it's just because it's west. The markets are nearby, so the South China Sea is there, notorious for criminal. The Indian Ocean as well, notoriously. You know, that's a so. You're right next to the, you know, the opium triangles there too.
Canada, so. Canada also has a very rich history, if you want to call it, with the Irish and Italian mafias. So yeah.
I mean, we do too, but it's just they were kind of actually wiped out thanks to people like Rudy Giuliani. I was mostly joking about
the Irish mob. Yeah. Well, I know you're joking about Giuliani.
The Irish mob just went to politics. Are you kidding me? That's what happened, and that's what I think is a good thing.
I'm talking about Canada specifically.
Yeah, but hear me out though, right? So cartels, right? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with cartels? They all have to launder their money in legitimate businesses, right? So make them legitimize the businesses. You legalize the drugs, and their business has to legitimize that way. With the Irish mafia, I mean, we saw it with Kennedy and stuff like that. Like, you know, we know his brother was killed by the mob. We don't know what exactly happened with Kennedy. There's a lot of theories, you know, and it's and that's like a focal point
government.
For a lot of conspiracy theorists, but we know about their connections with the mobs, the Irish mobs. And, you know, like Joe Biden is Irish too. Don't forget it.
That's unfortunate.
You know, so it's a thing, man. Found it.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't know what it is.
But I have to wait for Jack to come back. This is a whole presentation that I got here.
Hi.
Okay. This is fucking hysterical. I don't know if this is legit or if somebody is making this to be funny, but it's get ready to take the green pill. And it's like list of U.S. Irish presidents.
That's hilarious. Obama.
They
media control.
Hypotheses. They. And I'm not talking about the Jews, I'm talking about the Irish.
It's all the Irish.
The golden. They got a fucking racist leprechaun up here. Like, this is one of the funniest things to me, because it just points out how ridiculous that conspiracy about the Jews is, because it's not true. It's definitively the Irish. Nobody came over more to America. No group ever has migrated more in history. So, of course, the Irish have, a majority in everything.
Don't get me started on those Germans and Italians, man. They're even worse. Have you ever seen the
protocols of this, where it's Druid like... Elders.
That's amazing. Elders of Hibernia.
Are you asking questions yet?
Are there any slurs for Egyptians?
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Like, go build a pyramid or something, you know? Like,
I don't know if it's a slur, but like in Gulf countries, so where I'm from in Egypt, we don't call falafel this. We just call it falafel. In a lot of parts of Egypt, if not most of Egypt, they call falafel or whatever you want to call it, tamaya.
Okay.
And I think it's slightly different from like falafel person versus Arab accent, but because they put some kind of like some fat in it, I have no idea. But because part of Egypt I'm from, we just call it falafel. So in Gulf countries, if they ever want to, like, if they see an Egyptian doing something like slightly aggressive or negative, they'll be like, oh, look at this fucking tamaya right here, bro. Like, what's that ahead of tamaya? Shuf, I had tamaya, like this tamaya, this like. But I don't know if that's a slur, because it's like at the same time, Arabs will just like kind of use the food of a person's heritage as like a moniker. So, for example, like when like someone from Saudi says, So, for example, when someone from Saudi
says, saying we don't
like,
do that with British people, the first thing we insult is their food.
But it's like, for example, if you'll see it in the I'll see it in the comments, like, it'll be like someone saying like, typical tamaya behavior. It'll be like a Saudi guy, and then there'll be an Egyptian guy responding like, "Ikhras ya kebsa," which means like kebsa, which is kebsa is like a Saudi dish, like a Gulf.
So goofy.
It's so good. So I don't even know if I should call it a slur. Cause like, first off, I feel like whatever I've only once or twice ever been called this by like a Saudi friend, and it's like ironically, right? And at the same time, since I'm from a part of Egypt where it doesn't even apply to me. We don't even call it that, you know, the part of Egypt I'm from. So maybe Egyptians from like the south of Egypt or like Cairo who like grew up in the Gulf might take it more personally, but me, I didn't grow up in the Gulf or anything, and I have a lot of friends from the Gulf and whatnot. So it's like, if someone were to call me that, I'd be like, bro, you're goofy as shit. You should have just said some shit like, fuck you or go eat shit. Like, you're goofy as hell.
Yeah.
The two countries, and one is not an Arabic country, but the two countries that I see the most being insulted is, one is Pakistan, which is an Arab country, so we don't need to talk about it. And the second one is Palestine. Palestine takes so much shit from the Arab community.
Do you think so? I feel like, okay, so here's my thing with Palestinians. At least that I've noticed, right?
Here we go.
Palestinians, either it's like, if it's right. It's always one of two things. Either if someone finds out you're Palestinian, and this is a very broad generalization, right? If someone finds out you're Palestinian, they're willing to take like the shirt off their back to help you out or whatever. They're like, oh, you guys are like fighting a good fight. You're an honorable people. We stand with you. Or was like, see like the Palestinian, they find out they see you as a pest. Oh, you're a migrant. You're a refugee. You guys are always talking shit about other Arab countries because we're not like supporting you all the way, yada, yada, yada. But that's a very broad generalization. But I think Palestinians do get a lot of shit, particularly from Lebanese people and Jordanian people.
A certain type of Lebanese people.
Because of like Black September and the Lebanese Civil War and migration crises and refugee camps.
Anyway.
I'd say it's like the majority of Egyptians are cool with them. But you get these like weirdos who grew up rich and they have like this weird thing about Palestine. I don't know what it is. There's a weird subset of nationalists.
It's one of those countries that I hear a lot of shit come from. It's other countries. So first of all, the just because I'm in a lot of Kurdish circles, they hate him because of
they hate Palestinians.
Yeah, because Arafat and Saddam Hussein. It like goes back, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
And then the Gulf states all hate him because of their own domestic politics, because of how they're in relations with the Israeli government. So like the people who are the meanest to them are the really, really rich Gulf states down there. And it's a lot different with, I would say, Egyptians, because there's a different history with Egyptians. There's an important history there.
Yeah.
I don't think they have much history. There's not really shared history with Saudi Arabia and Palestine as compared to like Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Syria.
It really depends. Like, if you come from one of like the major Palestinian, like Bedouin or just tribal groups in general, like the Houthis, for example, you're treated like royalty by people from the Gulf.
That's so strange.
But I think I want to say, broadly speaking, like Kuwaitis for sure and Saudis for sure, like broadly speaking, don't really have anything like that. As far, same with Qataris, but as far as like Bahrain, UAE goes, I'm not sure. I want to say they do like them, because I honestly believe most Arabs are with the Palestinian cause, but
you would think so, who knows? Right?
I'm not sure. It's just what
that's what in my experience, right? Like, I'm talking about people I've actually met. I've met very few Arab people, and I've met many who dislike or don't support the Palestinian. A couple, but like they're very far and few between, regardless of nationality.
Well, I mean, nobody shits on them like Israel, though. So.
No. I feel like I've never met, like, here's the thing, even if they dislike Palestinians, they're not really fond of Israel either. Like, I have yet to meet like an Arab.
Oh yeah, no. I know a lot of people who are like very pro Israel. What's funny is Turkey. Turkey gets real funny with it, because like you'll see like
a certain type of Turk.
They'll see protests and they'll have the Azerbaijani, Israeli, and Turkish flags together at like protests, and it's like those people are all Nazis, right? But then there'll be other types that like really support Palestinians and hate Israel, and or somehow Erdogan hits both markets. With, I don't know how he does it, but he somehow gets votes from both parties there.
He's just that guy. He's the everyman, bro. He's the sniper of Turkish politics. No, but bro, I feel like we need to touch on that a bit more. Like Erdogan's kind of like, I don't know how to say if mass appeal is the right word, but his ability to appeal to a lot of different like Turkish groups, or like at least have them tolerate him, is very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's known as a police state.
Because the Grey Wolves don't necessarily like him, but they talk like, or at least people who support the Grey Wolves don't necessarily like him, but they tolerate him. Maybe I'm tripping out here. You know more about Turkey than me, but that's what I've noticed.
I'm just looking up what elections are coming up. We have one in Nigeria.
Ooh,
because I know Turkey's this year. Turkey is June 18th.
Bro, so. Is Muhammadu still the president? President of Nigeria?
I'm not sure of the name, but I know the face. So,
bro, Google president of Nigeria for me real quick. I gotta know, because Muhammadu's been like the president of Nigeria since I was in the eighth grade. It's kind of ridiculous. He was really old back then.
It's not an old guy.
Muhammadu Buhari.
He doesn't look that old.
Who is it?
Oh yeah.
You have What's a name?
Muhammadu.
He was born in 1942.
Oh shit, he is that old.
Yeah, that's
crazy. He was
pretty sure. That's what I was saying.
Years.
This dude's been like the president of Nigeria since like my fucking since my freshman year of high school.
Okay, he looks older here. This is 2018. He looks a lot worse there. Looks he kind of skeletal.
He was the military head of state from 83 to 85.
So, Turkey, obviously a huge
one. When's that? That's this year, what month?
That's going to be that's June 18th. Then here's an interesting one. Zimbabwe has been dealing with the greatest, like, you think Lebanon economy is bad. Zimbabwe has had the worst economics under this guy. This guy taps gold mines, so they've encountered gold recently, so they have a huge influx of currency, and they're still in this debt because the government's just robbing people. So the inflation in Zimbabwe is insane, and they even cryptocurrency was actually a good thing for Zimbabwe because it was more stable than their money.
Yes.
Imagine that.
It probably still is. Even Bitcoin sitting at 17,000 is probably still more stable.
Mm-hmm. And everyone, if they turned every dollar into Bitcoin, they probably lost less money.
They probably would have, yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and so all... They don't. So a lot of people aren't even using paper money anymore, and almost everything is done through apps on the phone, like pay apps on the phone.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting how people have used, especially considering it's an African country, the fact that people have been able to use technology to circumvent a lot of the worst parts of this inflation. But it's still a big deal. You know, it still sucks because it's going to be, it's goods, the price of goods will rise anyway, even if the price of the value doesn't fall. So it's still inflating. Argentina. I don't know much about Argentina, honestly, other than
isn't,
the fault.
Isn't the wars. Government like close to fascist?
I know they've been back and forth on it.
Isn't Argentina where the Nazis are?
Is it Argentina or Chile that we give a bunch of money to? I think it might be Chile. Like, we're in deep with them, I think. It might be Argentina, though. Chile's the one that's been having, like, overthrows every 2 weeks. Right?
Has it?
Yeah. It's been really bad. Ooh, Pakistan, by the end of 2023. Yeah, that's right, because, like, they had a vote of no confidence. That's going to be an interesting one. Pakistan's going to be a really funny circus to watch if you understand Pakistani politics. That one will be interesting. That'll be one will be funny as hell. But I want to say Myanmar has one, which would be crazy. Here's just a wiki article.
Are you guys still on the guy from Zimbabwe, or are we just looking at elections?
No, I talked about it for a little bit. I talked about how cryptocurrency was really good for them because they were able to bank with cryptocurrency because their dollar was...
Zimbabwe?
Yeah, so they used e-marketing for everything. So they paid all of their phones, all of the apps, and they used a lot of different alternate currencies because while the price of goods were going up, at least those coins were more stable than their actual dollar that was going down. And they just encountered a huge gold mine. So they had an influx of money and they're still getting like robbed by this government. So that's an election where if you know that, if you see the guy in Zimbabwe win, you know he cheated. There is no way in hell that guy is getting reelected if there's any type of semblance of democracy in that country. Even if there's just a slight edge of democracy and it's rigged heavily in his favor, like, I don't see how they could unanimously come out. You know, like how with Lukashenko, like he said that he had like 90% of the vote, and it's like, shut up, no you did.
So I was just reading up on the Argentinian president.
Yeah,
he seems pretty...
I don't know much about Argentina.
Seems pretty boring. Allegation of racism by the Spanish.
Who was the Argentina one, the one who was almost shot the other day, like 2 months ago, maybe?
I'm not sure. If I said his name,
No, it was a woman. It was like, because I think it's the one who's running against him.
But yeah, he just seems pretty neutral of a politician. There was an allegation by the Spanish of racism, something about a Supreme Court refusing to follow the Supreme Court. But that was because they refused to raise the funding to Buenos Aires. So he just raised the funds, I guess.
Chilling images for any democracy is pointed at how continues Vice President smiling. And suddenly, a loaded pistol is pointed at...
That's the guy who... Hold up. That's the guy who completely fumbled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just pulls the trigger.
That's the guy who completely... Oh, yeah.
Greeting the crowd, when in seconds, the man pushes forward and holds the gun inches from her face.
I was like, this woman looks familiar when we were looking at the article. So, that's right. So... somebody's obviously pissed there, so I think that might be an interesting election. Oh, India is this year.
Will the fascists...
Does Modi win it again?
Yeah, Myanmar is also this year. A Myanmar general election, Cambodia and Thai. Myanmar, Cambodia, Thai, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Malaysia, and then there's like...
You think Imran Khan is going to give another crack at it? Let's go, Khan. Bom, 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 on, on.
I don't know.
What will that mean for India if Modi gets booted? Will it mean peace in the region with Pakistan, or is that going to keep going?
Well, hopefully Modi, a better situation domestically, at least.
Yeah, Modi is bad domestically more than he is foreign.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like the Muslims he's off, in India.
He's awful domestically.
Mm-hmm. He's very and the Sikhs
with the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Christians. Yeah, he's horrible.
He's Hindu, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Hindu nationalist. His party quotes Hitler.
Ah, that's hot.
So yes, he is a fascist. He is a very big nationalist. So, but the thing is that he's the most popular president in the world because of the population.
And how much of India kind of agrees with his mentality, at least among the Hindus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how he manages to suck in like poor Hindus who may have more in common with like poor Muslims than they do with you know these upper class Hindus who are also Hindu nationalists.
It's always that.
It's always like that. He manages to suck them in because they think he's similar to them, but in reality, they're not. But it is what it is.
So it's they're local elections in India, but they still matter.
You ever see that video? It's like there's this one lady who lives up in like this mountainous jungle region of India, and she votes. So like this guy has to carry up a fucking ballot box up this mountain to get her vote.
No, I haven't. But I've seen kids who have to go to school in different countries, and they have to climb mountains to go to school.
That sounds.
They go to school for like months out of the year, though.
That's your dad's trip to school right there.
Yeah. But like in China,
your dad got to school.
In China there's one where they have the kids like dangling on ropes from a mountain and shit.
That's insane.
You see, it's just like anchored to the wall. This is how these kids get to school. Like they have to climb up this whole fucking mountain. Fuck 72 that. Families live on top of the mountain. But like I've seen pictures and stuff where literally kids are on ropes. Look at this shit, dude. Look at that shit. Like, are you kidding me?
It's not worth it. Go to homeschool.
Just work in the fields at your dad's farm or whatever. I don't know.
You don't
do
need
something
it.
Else.
You don't need education.
You just really, like, labor. At this rate, don't even bother.
It's not worth it.
Like, these are not... Sometimes they have ladders, but most of the stuff, like, that is not a ladder that they're climbing. And it, like, you know, it's probably like they're the really poor mountain kids that have to use the shitty ladder, you know?
The poor kid route.
They're like, yeah, your fucking ladders have rust on them. You're going to get to catch tetanus from your ladders. Look at this ladder. Mm-hmm. Brand new, stainless steel, chief.
Well, they were using, like, branches to climb and stuff. Like,
oh, like, you have to use ropes? No, we got enough ladders for the whole way up there. Yeah, you fucking brokey.
That's one of the things. Speaking about ropes and mountains, is like I was just playing the Inca in Civ. I'm being attacked by two different people at once right now, but I'm able to flank around them because you can build road systems on the mountains at the start of the game, so you can basically teleport through mountains. So I keep flanking around them, even though like I have lower level units, but I have more of them. with the Inca and their roads, right? It's something that people don't look at because people kind of, there's this weird primitive lens that they look at a lot of things that, and like the Inca road system was one of the most advanced road systems of all time.
You mean to tell me the Aztecs weren't a bunch of fucking like...
No, the Aztecs suck. We talked about that. The Aztecs suck.
You mean to tell me the Incas weren't a bunch of organ sacrificing savages, bro? You mean to tell me that like native cultures were...
The Aztecs were.
They worship the sun. Sun is God.
Well, then
sacrifice people.
Solar cults and lunar cults are the most common religious practices because
historically,
well, I mean, your life revolves around the cycle, so
yeah, that makes sense. Makes
sense. But,
at least at the time,
the Mayan are lunar cults or cultists, and the moon is like the goddess of reproduction and stuff.
I don't know why I always think that the Aztecs and the Incas are the same thing. It really shows my lack of knowledge with Latin America.
Oh, the Incas are much different than all of them. But we actually are the reason we know how to build suspension bridges today is because of the Inca.
Hmm.
Okay, so the Incas were goated.
Who are the Zapatistas? They're Mayans?
They're Mayan, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Aztecs were wiped out because they weren't nice.
Hmm. Where were they around?
They're in Mexico City. Mexico City was their capital.
Okay.
Like, look at this shit. They still exist today.
That's pretty cool.
It's just, it's like alpaca hair. Oh, and also the quipu. The quipu is also very interesting.
I want to know how they got it to the other side.
They used a slingshot type device. They shot it to the other side.
That's hilarious.
I mean, but then, but you know, they also, so they have these paved roads too. And how they built these terraces, because the stones fit together perfectly. And you'll see it, like, look at how perfect those stones are. Fit together perfectly. So a lot of ancient aliens guys love the Inca for this. But what they actually do is that because of how they build the blocks, they put dust on the block and then put the block down. And if it doesn't, like, and if it's not even, then they know they have to grind that edge down a little more to get it to evenly fit. So they just used dirt and dust to see where the friction was to get the blocks to perfectly line up together.
That's funny.
And then shave them down.
How genius.
Mm-hmm. So, and they also, so one of the things that the worst thing about the Incans is like, look at this thing down a mountain. And this is why the Cortez and them died trying to fight these people. Well, because they live in the mountains.
Did they have taxes to build the roads?
I don't know. We don't know much about them. But like, there's a reason we don't know much about them. But
yeah,
check,
because they were wiped out.
No, because they didn't have writing.
Ah, so they could make roads, but they couldn't write.
No, they did something else. Check this out. So it's called the quipu. It's a mathematical language.
What the fuck? Yeah. I wish it would load. There we go. Oh, that's weird. How long is a piece of string?
So the knots in it are like, it's like Morse code, basically, kind of.
Mm.
And so this entire, so the messengers would use the roads and carry the quipus with them. And the quipus were stuff about like grain storage, how much grain they have, how much like yields they need from this town to feed this town. And it was stuff like that. It was all logistical information that they were able to record on these quipus, and nobody knows how to read them. It says civil war and disease happened. So same thing that happened to the Iroquois, even though the Iroquois are still around.
Should have used vaccines. Damn anti-vaxxers.
You know, what's really interesting is that they gave the Europeans diseases as well.
Like what?
Syphilis.
No, I was going to say, is it syphilis?
Yeah, it's when Columbus came over and raped people.
Mm.
They gave them an advanced form of syphilis.
No
so they
shit.
They took it home and there was a syphilis outbreak. Well,
simultaneously,
they caused a smallpox outbreak, which is far worse than syphilis.
Yeah, bit of fucking karma, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, and also the thing is just like, cholera, right? But so we know about viruses like smallpox, but I want to know about diseases, you know? Because like, yeah. Cholera is a very interesting disease, because like it's something that affects us today. Like when we had the chlorine attacks in Iraq, they banned cholera, or they banned chlorine imports, and immediately there was a cholera outbreak because there was no clean water. That's what I want to know is like there was no way
bacteria, right?
Yes, the reason why there was a cholera outbreak is because they were shitting into the river, and one end was getting all its water from the river. And they just didn't think that there was anything wrong with this. And there was this whole thing, the Thames in Britain. There's this story about 1 year it dried up and all the shit that was in it and polluted. And it's right next to the their like political building. So like people had to like wear like, you know, actual plague doctor's masks with the roses and stuff stuffed in there. Not really, but it was like. Apparently it smelled so bad because of this, because they didn't know. They didn't know like to take care of water. But the Inca are at the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
So you have spring water there.
Mm, yes.
So that's the thing is like, do they even encounter cholera? Did they understand what cholera was? Because it took a long time for people to understand how germs work. Because
I wouldn't think so. Unless they had stagnant water.
They wouldn't, though, because it's in the mountains.
No. Maybe during rainfall, maybe there might have been pools of stagnant water. I wouldn't think so.
You don't just need stagnant water. You need to like shit in the water. You need things to die in the water. Like, you need a lot of filth to get cholera.
Then no, they probably wouldn't have. They probably would not have encountered it ever. It would not have been a factor.
And so that's the things that. Because it's like you look at how, because we know a lot of early medicine in Europe and stuff. Like we know about miasma theory. Are you aware of this? Are you aware of what miasma theory was?
Shoot, I've never heard this one before.
Okay, so the four humors in miasma theory. These were what medical science was for years. And by the way, Egypt had advanced surgeons in the ancient era. So Egypt knew more about medicine in the ancient era with their surgeons than. People
that's because the Egyptians were aliens. Didn't you know that?
Yeah.
They made that's how they made alien. The
I'm an alien. No, I'm an alien.
No, but, alien. Do you know RX, the pharmacy symbol? RX?
Yeah.
It's Egyptian. It's for
It's ironic because in Egypt we don't even use the RX symbol anymore on pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got the snake. The snake and like the bottle medicine. We don't even use the RX symbol. I remember I had a neighbor in my grandmother's neighborhood. He was a pharmacist, and his daughter actually went to Cambridge, but that's a whole other thing. But that was like a big deal for that neighborhood that she went to Cambridge, like because a lot of those people don't even go to fucking university.
So but, humors and miasma, right? You want to get into that real quick?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll wrap up. We'll finish on this.
George Washington was killed by a surgeon, right? Wasn't that, is that the guy who did it? Somebody who was shot. One president was shot, was killed by a surgeon because they bled
him. I think Washington was killed by a surgeon, at least somewhat accidentally.
Something like that. A surgeon killed one of the presidents. So that one takes a little bit more to get into, but miasma theory is that they believe what was germs in the Black Plague, they believe it spread through bad air. So that's why the plague doctors used the roses and stuff. They thought it filtered the air. So miasma theory, they think they were like, no, cholera isn't. They literally found a guy who found why cholera was outbreaking, found the tap, because there's a communal tap where everyone gets their water from back then. They found the tap it was coming from. And then reported it, and everyone told them to shut the fuck up because scientists say it's miasma, and they told him to get the fuck out. And like, he spent his entire life trying to get people to understand what cholera was, and then died with people not understanding, I believe. And then like 10 years later after his death, I think a guy came in and they accepted cholera. And they did. And they put miasma theory to bed. And part of this is the flooding of that river, or the drought of that river, where it got stinky for a while in Britain. But then the four humors is, so they studied blood and how blood coagulates, and they determined that there's four types of blood in the body. And so, like, we know that there's white blood cells and red blood cells and stuff like that. That's not what they're going on about this. They believe that there's four fundamental fluids, and you have to balance them by draining people's bloods. So that's
where leeches came from?
That's where leeches came from, is the four humors. So it's like 400 BC. And then it's like all up. So like, then like people still follow this shit.
What the fuck?
Like there's like the like weird hippie people and stuff.
Because like, it's like red blood cells, white blood cells, and then there's plasma. And I think that's it.
But that's not what they called it. It was blood, yellow bile, black bile, and stuff. Like, this is what it looked like.
The fuck is black bile?
I don't know. It was all this mysticism, gobbledygook, like astrology was. So that's why, of course, people still believe this dumb shit today. Oh, and they talk about how there's the science behind it. It's not like they, that's the thing, is it's like people think that they just started believing these things out of nowhere. No, it came from actual ideas, and then it just got dumber over time.
Oh my god, no, it's so, so fucking dumb. Just
wait. TikTok and its consequences for the human race or something.
Oh my god. Secreted by the kidneys or spleen and to cause melancholy. That's what this is supposed to be. It says, melancholy can have causes that aren't due to underlying diseases, including being a sad movie, loss of a loved one, or object, or a good thing coming to an end. It is believed to be associated with temperament.
Yeah. So, and then surgery as well. Surgery in the Victorian era was horrific. And it's like, you look at Egypt. The Egyptians, they had access to obsidians, yes. so their surgeons actually had obsidian scalpels.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the British were using saws.
Yeah, there's like death trap configurations, but like kings used to always hire, like there would always be, there's a huge medical industry in ancient Egypt where Egyptian doctors would go work around for kings all around the world because they were the best doctors you could get. And they also, part of that, they also have near the Dead Sea, so they know they have natural saline.
Not much has changed, bro. We make up a lot of engineers and medical professionals and IT and tech people in the Gulf and construction workers. So project managers, construction project managers, all that shit. Not much has changed. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the protests in Israel? Just like, cause.
Why don't you dive into it real quick?
Yeah, so basically, there's been these protests in Israel. I don't know how many people have been showing up in different cities across the country, but I can't remember if it was 80,000 or 800,000. And essentially, they're protesting the Netanyahu government, and you've got a lot of different people. You got people who think Netanyahu's election is a bit fraudulent. You got people who don't agree with his new, I think it's like Minister of National Security or Security Minister, who's like this very far right, like kind of like a Jewish, like Orthodox Jewish.
Ben Gavir is a fascist. He's a fascist.
Orthodox Jewish nationalist.
Yeah, no, he's just a fascist. Ben Gavir is one of the worst people on earth.
And he wants to ban the Palestinian flag, which is like, good luck with that, right?
I mean, it kind of already is.
Kind of, yeah, but like people wave it anyways, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's 80,000 right here.
Yeah, and you also got other types in there, like you got kind of like your Israeli socialists who kind of, oh fuck, I'm sorry, you got your Israeli socialists who kind of agree with the idea of the Zionist state, but they're not really rocking with the whole Netanyahu government and whatnot, which it just goes to show you how fraudulent Netanyahu is. Because I feel like
a criminal, like they're like, we thought, you think Trump has some criminal charges on him? Like,
no, yeah, dude, Netanyahu's
huge,
big bribe guy, bro. He loves his cigars and champagne. You know
what I'm saying? Well, that's the thing. It's just
I don't know why governments do it. Israel is one of the governments where the president can't be charged with a crime while he's in office. Ridiculous.
That's insane. I didn't even know that.
Yes, that's why he's able to do all this shit, is because he can't, because it's not illegal when the president does it. And that's a famous quote from Trump. But he's, or no, Nixon. Nixon said that about
why. It was Nixon, yeah.
When the president does it, it's not illegal.
Okay, pause this for a second. I need to show you this.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, yes, I saw this. Dude, that shit is nice.
Hilarious.
I like that.
Corolla
I like that.
Engine. Hilarious. How funny. This is what the Taliban's been doing.
I need to get me some.
So small.
5 years it took.
It's, why is it so small?
I don't know. Look at it.
I need to move out there.
Dude, it looks good.
It looks fantastic. Bro, I was
good.
I was just telling my buddy, I need to move out to Afghanistan. Get me one of these cars and a pair of Cheetah sneakers.
Like, this is nuts.
This
anyway.
And a pair of Cheetah sneakers. This and a pair of
Cheetah sneakers. The Cheetah sneakers are so funny.
30 engineers.
I will get my hands on Cheetah sneakers within the year, believe me.
It looks so good.
I don't know.
These are fake pictures,
by the way. That's fake.
This military surplus company, Americana Pipe Dream, was selling Cheetah sneakers, actually.
Yep.
But they were like $150 or like $290. Like, there was no way. I might just give one of my buddies from Pakistan some money to go pick me some up the next time they're there, or I'll go to Pakistan and get them myself. I don't give a fuck. I need them.
Well, let me go onto Pipe Dream's page real quick so we can show the shoes. Anyway, these protests in Israel about Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir is a monster.
He's a horrible person, yeah.
There's like pictures of him actually shooting at protesters, but there's video of him actually shooting at protesters with a gun. Live rounds.
What a guy. You must feel like such a big macho guy right there, right?
How do you even spell his name? Ben-Gvir? 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 I'd have to Google
it's
it.
It's probably G-V-I-R.
G-V-I-R. It is. Itmar Ben-Gvir. We get Kanye with Netanyahu. It's right here. Ben-Gvir got his gun in his hand. Pulled out a gun to aim at Palestinian neighborhood, telling settlers with him that if Palestinians throw stones, shoot them.
Is that what Netanyahu said?
Yeah, no, this is Ben-Gvir. Here's another one. Israeli Itamar Ben-Gvir draws gun at Arab guards in Tel Aviv. He's got his gun
right
in his
hand.
Sounds
like a stable human being.
Dude, he is a monster. He is really, really fucking bad. It's insane how bad he is. Like, I didn't think they could get worse after Netanyahu was there. But he's like, oh, don't worry, I brought the biggest racist in the world with me, guys. Don't worry.
Israel, oh my God, Israel, most democratic country in the Middle East. LGBT rights, Israel.
Yeah, that's all. They always bring up LGBT rights.
95% vaccination rate, while the rest of the world is at 10%. Ignore that the West Bank did not receive similar vaccines.
They give them expired vaccines.
Expired vaccines. It's still good, bro. You put them in the fridge 2 hours, inject it yourself.
It's really unfortunate because there's a lot of kids that are just dying of, like, basic medical care that, like, The fact they make you have to, like, your leg will be blown off and they'll make you have to get a pass that takes like 6 months to get surgery on your leg. because there's no doctors in Gaza who can treat you. And you have to wait around for these medical passes, and they just let you die instead of giving them to you. But it's not an apartheid state. Can't say that.
Yeah, bro, that's insulting to the South Africans who live through apartheid and also think it's an apartheid state. Don't you know? But yeah, then it's like you go to those people in South Africa who live through it. They're like, yeah, Israel's an apartheid state, dog.
A lot of people deny that Ireland was one under Britain. Like, after...
That's another fucked up one.
Yeah, the black and tan. World War One was especially fucked up, because, like, anyone who resisted the British government in Ireland was just sent as cannon fodder. And that one is just much older, so people don't really recognize it. And they do also claim it in Northern Ireland and too, but Northern Ireland is a much different conflict. Like, I was saying, didn't I say yesterday that there's a certain point in history where I would side with Israel, and then there's a certain yes. point in history where that wouldn't happen?
Yeah, you did say that.
Like, so, like when Israel and basically before Arafat, you know, like before Arafat was around, the Iran period when he came to power in Iran, Israel was in the right there, you know. So it's not like Israel, I would say, has always been bad. They've always been controversial, but I think there is. Every situation can be looked at with a moral ambiguity, or what's that word? Ambiguity?
Ambiguity.
Is that the right word there?
Yeah.
But what does that word mean?
Vague.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd have to respectfully disagree. I think Israel's always in the wrong, but
that's what I was waiting for, is you to chime in there. Because you have a different opinion, you know?
I'm very biased. I think the minute the idea of Zionism came about, they were in the wrong.
Yeah, I think I would say that Zionism has always been a bad idea. Just like fascism has always been a bad idea. And
to be very clear, before you continue, I do not like Arafat at all. Mm-hmm. At all. You got a lot of these old heads who praise him. I'm like, you guys got your heads up your asses. He was not. No, I don't like him at all.
Yeah, so Arafat basically invented human shield tactics.
Yeah.
So when he was in Lebanon, that's what his main tactic was, is to get Israel to retaliate to make them look bad. I would say in that situation against Arafat, you know, it's hard not to say Israel deserves to have something in that situation where they're under attack. But then, like I said, that is like also in a gray area where it's like, I'm kind of not on any side, but I understand like Israel wasn't necessarily in the wrong when certain things happen. That has not existed for 20 years. They have been absolutely in the wrong for a very, very long time, in my view. And I don't see, that's the thing is that they should be losing allies all around them. People should be recognizing what's going on, because post-Holocaust, you know, it was a different idea. And I think Zionism evolved from that. And the fact that they were put there by the British because nobody wanted to put them back where they came from. Like, those peoples had homes in Europe. Why didn't they go home? Why did Britain shove them in concentration camps again in Israel? Or Palestine at the time. I don't know. What did the British call it? Okay, so Palestine. So, and then, like, and then they didn't even give them rights there either. So they, like, so the foundation of the state is a little funky there as well. But then, like I said yesterday, the moment it was founded, they started oppressing Palestinians. The moment it was founded. The Palestinians gave them shelter, for the protesters and all that stuff who were protesting the British. They gave them shelter, and they were repaid immediately by being put into concentration camps and pushed off, just like we did with the natives here. It's the same thing, because, you know, there was a time when they were like helping us, and then what did they get for it?
They got fucked.
And that's what's going on in Palestine. There's a certain online opinion from Palestinian nationalists, and it's very pro-Assad, very pro-Russia,
I've never liked that either. I think that's mostly an online thing, but you do occasionally encounter people who think that in real life. And yeah, I've always said
understand what's going on in the situation at the same
time. Right, right. But it's like the other thing I've always said to Arab friends of mine when we had this discussion is like, guys, you cannot excuse Assad because he's quote unquote, like, it's a facade in my opinion.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's that whole thing where he killed Palestinians too.
He's quote unquote pro-Palestinian when he's doing like horrific things to his own people
and Palestinian,
and you can't excuse that just because he's supposedly pro-Palestinian. No, him, like, he's just as bad. And the Free Syrian movement, at least the early rendition of it, the way I see it, is I don't want to say it's an extension of the Palestinian movement, but it's in the same mm-hmm. boat. It's in the same boat. You're both being heavily oppressed, bombed, killed, tortured by like,
the Iraqi who were resisting the Americans as well were very pro-Palestinian and came out of that because they were all Muslim Brotherhood.
Right, to some degree.
Mm-hmm. And not the Taliban themselves, but like the Mujahideen who were fighting the Soviets. Mm-hmm. They were a branch of Muslim Brotherhood as well. Because back then, that's all there was.
The Muslim Brotherhood used to put in that work, dog. They used to, they used to be all over the place.
Yeah. And now it's like, now everyone is like, and it's weird because I'll talk to fascists in Russia. And that's what they talk about, is how it's Muslim Brotherhood. They'll talk about Egypt, like the protests in Egypt.
Let me be very clear. I do not like the Muslim Brotherhood at all, but I feel like people, I feel like I may have talked about this, is that like people, okay, again, I do not like them. I'm very anti-Muslim Brotherhood, but people will try and put them in the same category as like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and it's like, you could not be more wrong. You could not be more wrong. Like, your average Muslim Brotherhood supporter is just like, he's like a right-wing conservative, basically, who just mm-hmm. thinks that like Islam should play like a bigger role in the law. That's it.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they'll try and put them in the same category as like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It's just like, no, they're like, sure, to some degree, like on the more extreme side, they kind of teeter that line. Yeah, but like, well, overall, like, if we're talking broadly, if we're talking broadly, they're basically just a bunch of right-wing conservatives.
Hmm. But they're anti-Bosnian.
Who sometimes endorse acts of violence like right-wing conservatives, but nothing like insane.
They're anti-Ba'ath, though. That's how I've always.
That's the originator of it. They're anti-Ba'ath as well.
So when Ba'ath is like Israel, I'm sorry, like, fuck the Ba'ath. Like, the party is demonstrably bad. There's been like one good iteration of it. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, let them fight. If the Muslim Brotherhood wants to fight the Ba'ath.
That's the thing. That's how it originated. That's the way it originated. It was like kind of like they weren't necessarily anti-Arab nationalists, but they were anti-Arab nationalist parties. Like, they were anti-Nasser. And that's how it originated, basically. So, shit.
And Nasser was killed by him, right?
Who was killed by?
Wasn't Nasser killed by Muslim Brotherhood?
No, Nasser had a heart attack.
Okay, I know somebody was killed on TV by them.
But Sayyid Qutb, the guy who like is kind of credited with founding.
He tried
to kill Nasser at one point. He tried to assassinate him. He had a plot.
On TV and like they were shooting on like.
I don't know if that was him, but he definitely had a plot to do it. But that you might be right. That might have been him. All right. But the thing is that's why he was executed. He's kind of the guy who threw his writing. Which, by the way,
we've mentioned Sayyid Qutb before, but
despite me heavily disagreeing with him, the dude was a great writer. Like, he had prose, but he's kind of credited, like Bin Laden read his books and was like inspired by him, you know. He's credited with kind of like the modern, I guess you could say, Islamist jihadist militant movement.
And what's interesting, so we'll wrap on this right here, is that what happened is that he was getting too radical in Egypt, so his parents sent him to America, and like he saw people taking care of his lawns and lost his mind about it.
He hated so many things. He hated
people dancing too close together. That specifically.
Yeah, dancing is one thing I would understand. He hated American football too. He thought it was like unnecessarily brutal.
The monster.
Oh yeah, yeah, he thought, unnecessarily he thought, like, brutal. Yeah, Saeed Qutb. Yeah, okay.
Brutal. And also, that's the word he chose. Also, brutal. Also,
yeah, the words he used the closest translation you can find to them in Arabic are unnecessarily brutal. Are the words he used to describe American football. And he hated lawns. He also hated jeans. He hated jeans.
It's because they're all quintessentially American.
The thing with
he was in Colorado. I think that's where he was.
Because the Al Qaeda still has a thing with lawns, so like I'll always be like, Al Qaeda's base. They hate the HOA.
No, it's a good bit. It's like it's because it's true. They hate lawns, and it's like right.
That'd actually be a really good comedy bit. Like that would be a really good stand-up.
I have a meme, and it says "fuck the HOA," and it's just Al Qaeda sitting there like the rap album. But okay, let's talk about mustache because I think it explains it all.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, he had a fucked up mustache. I don't know what Buddy was doing there.
Yeah.
But you would be surprised how.
This is when he was young, you know? So this is probably when they sent him to America and he saw the lawns and people dancing too close together. But it's funny that he was sent to de-radicalize and only helped radicalize him. It's the opposite of everyone else because we see them get radicalized in jail or they get sent to Afghanistan or something like that. None of them get sent to America and rebel against the culture there like this guy did. Like, this guy's
He hated it. He hated it. But, I mean, like, back to the lawns, though, I mean, they're right. They're, like, all the way right about the lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day.